All right.
Three.
Oh my God, Chris.
What a time it has been to be alive.
What a time it is to be alive and to have 140 characters.
I mean, really, it has been a crazy couple of weeks right now.
Yes, in general. In general, like health-wise and just kind of world-wise, I feel like, I don't know, I almost feel like if I believed in that stuff, I felt like we should be reading our star charts.
It honestly kind of feels like the world is ending every single day, so that's really exciting.
That is. That's, what? Who doesn't want that?
Listeners, we are in our kind of regular, like, you know, time of the year where we basically kind of just chill, you know? We just kind of chill. We get ready for our next season. We start recording stuff and getting all that good to go. But we really wanted to do a couple of kind of, you know, fun episodes here in the interim. Talk about some stuff that's going on in the news, some hot button issues that are coming up here. So that's what we're going to talk about. And today we thought we'd talk about social media because we honestly, this is also something we just needed to talk to listeners about in general, because we're trying to decide what social media is best for the show to continue to be on and use, and how can we effectively talk to listeners and everything. So it's crazy. It's just been a crazy time.
And Elon Musk just kind of pisses me off in general. So I just needed some good rant time.
Marie just wanted to vent.
I just need to vent.
All right, Jake, roll the tape. So, Marie.
Twitter Files, part 27.
Twitter Files, part 27.
Sorry. I had to. Oh.
So, you know, social media is an interesting thing because I personally think it is probably one of the most destructive technologies we have invented since...
the bomb.
I mean,
yeah, pretty much.
Obviously, like in terms of loss of life and everything else, it's not that destructive, right? It seems silly to compare, you know, a bomb or a weapon of war with social media.
Yeah, but they're not too far off these days. Social media is a weapon of war. Has been used as a weapon of war.
Well, the interesting thing is social media had social media, what do we actually mean by social media? Let's define the term, number one.
Right. Initially, well, they would say that they are not a real media entity, right? Like, so they're not journalists. They don't have to fact check, right? They are a platform or a virtual town square, which is my favorite analogy these days.
Yes. So when the internet first started, social media wasn't kind of a thought, really. Social media means a site. This is the way that it's defined sort of in general, usually. It's a website that bases all of its utility on user-generated content and provides services and social networks through which people can share that user-generated content. So yeah.
Services being the, like, there should be something of value.
Yeah.
Right? Because in social media, you are the content.
And so the,
right? You are actually the content driver in all of that.
Totally. And so the original social media really were things like, you know, web forums, blogs. Mm-hmm. Then you started having things like, you know, photo sharing websites and websites that you could create, like right on Angel Fire, right? I don't think we think of Angel Fire as social media, but really that's kind of what it was used for, how it was used, you know?
Yeah.
And really
that's way back. Yeah.
And really one of the other ones that kind of started it in some weird ways almost are websites like news aggregators, right? So like eBombs World. Or content aggregator. So eBombs World, Dig, Newgrounds, Something Awful, you know, even places like the Nintendo Power forums were early social media. And in the early days, they really were sort of seen as a place for people to discuss. Just they were a forum, right? So it was just a place to discuss something that you were interested in.
Yeah.
But today, social media means something a little bit more nefarious, which, Marie, you were hinting at, of this idea that a social media is a place where users generate content, and then that content is optimized and sold and utilized by the company that's operating the website to generate ad revenue for itself.
Yeah. The content is the commodity. And so you are driving that content.
Yeah. And so it goes quickly from something like a totally free forum, like say 4chan, which is like, you know, 4chan is I mean, I was a shitty little middle schooler before. I loved going on 4chan back in the day, right? And it, you know, it was this place where you would go and see like the vilest content, but also hilarious content and interesting links to websites. And it's where people found out about internet things. And very quickly it started becoming something where, well, wait a second, if we can use this in a concerted way, which on 4chan, it was always for like, you know, crazy, horrible pranks, you know, that's the way that people used it.
Right.
But if we can use this force in a concerted way, we can actually create some really interesting stuff, you know? So you think back to like, say, you know, Slender Man, right? That was a generated creation of the Something Awful forums.
Yeah. Like, Reddit for whatever that subreddit is.
Yeah, exactly. Like you can come together and create something really cool, but it also then became a really good place to make terrible
overthrow democracy.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean,
I just jumped the gun on that.
It's fine. It's sort of a weird jump between. It's a weird jump, but it's not that far of a jump, really.
No.
Like you said, to go from, okay, well, we're going to, you know, I remember when all these websites were doing like naming convention or naming contests, you know, and the, you know, different internet forums would like compete with each other to see what was the most heinous name they could get something to be called, you know? So there was like, so Mountain Dew had a contest that was like, we're going to make, you know, we're going to let the internet decide the name of this. And 4chan or someone got the name to be like Gushing Granny.
So, you know, the thing is you should never ask the internet's mass opinion. Well, right? Like, that's probably not the best way to market on a corporate level. Well, but really, I mean, the internet and social media, I mean, it started, I think if you look at people who have created these entities, you know, they would tell you that they're doing it. It's a tool, right? And it's a tool for social good. Like Jack Dorsey always sort of had in mind that this was going to be this sort of neutral platform where people could come together and tweet and share ideas.
Jack, Jack Dorsey's a fucking idiot.
He's a fucking idiot. He's a fucking idiot, but it did bear fruit during the Arab Spring, right? So it was actually used. Facebook, Twitter were actually used to organize protests.
I think that is like taking credit for something that would have happened on its own.
I don't believe so. I actually do think that it enabled, during that time, it enabled activism in a good way. Now, the good thing about that is I think it did that. And I think that there is proof that it did aid in that effort. However, if something has the ability to do good for social activism, it, by its nature, can be easily corrupted into the opposite, right? Into being used as propaganda. Because really, it's if you live just for the sake of argument, if you look at it as a pure tool that, hey, I can get enough people together, we can amass in certain places, we can protest, I can get my message out there, and it can be amplified to others of like mind, as soon as you have something that can do that, you're pretty much screwed.
See,
right? Because it will be used in good for about 25 minutes. And then anything that can amplify a message to a huge amount of people is going to be used for something that is not so hot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It seems naive. It seems naive in the extreme to think
I look, not even now though.
I think of Jack Dorsey, these other people making these places, besides Zuckerberg, who created Facebook literally just to rank the hotness of girls at his school, which is gross and everything, but at least it started with a nefarious purpose. There was no, you know, there's no trick, right? That Facebook was ever not going to be something gross. Right.
But I mean, even he has said that Facebook is, you know, that Facebook is a, it's not a media company. It's not something that's bad.
Well, so right? they all think about that way, right? Here's the thing.
Right.
Okay, Marie, I have a building, and on the side of the building, I'm just going to paint a nice, beautiful
white wall.
Okay. All right. What do you think within a week is going to dominate that white wall?
So, okay. So let me give you
of
the
genitals.
Yes. Yeah, so let me give you back, but let me give you back the, so let me give you back the flip argument. So you have a staff of 45 people telling you how genius you are to put up that white wall. That white wall is an amazing idea. Oh my God, no one has ever thought about that white wall like that itself. And you know what? And the first time it gets, you know, defaced with the pictures of dicks, they're like, okay, you know what? We can fix that. That's not a big deal. Let's put the white wall back up because you are so brave. Like, if enough people tell you that that's a good idea, and if you are surrounding yourself in that echo chamber, there's an excellent chance that you will start to believe your own naivete, right? Like, you'll believe that the white wall is actually a good thing. So I think, yes, they are incredibly naive, but I also think that they, just like their platforms, have enough of an algorithm, you know, shouting back in their face, reassuring them what a great idea that is.
That's like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I think, really quick,
Scott Galloway said, if you tell a 35-year-old Silicon Valley guy that he's Jesus enough times, he'll start to believe himself.
Well, that's, I think, part of the problem with a lot of these is
these ideas get
really blown out of proportion. Twitter, and that's what I'm saying with the Arab Spring thing or whatever. Like, I think we had revolutions before Twitter. We had great upheavals before Twitter. We had, you know, the tool you use is a tool. It is not, I mean, maybe it made it easier, maybe it whatever, but for Twitter to be able to point to the Arab Spring and be like, we helped that happen. No, you fucking didn't. You were the white wall on which, lucky for you, people chose to do something good. But for the most part,
I think it's a tool.
You are a repository of genital pictures.
Yes, but I do think, to your point, it's a tool. Right. And it's a tool that facilitated change very quickly. Like Arab Spring, if you look at sort of that revolution, took place in a pretty truncated period of time. Right. Like that happened really fast, considering the communication smackdown that happened. Like that was a channel that actually did really work. Now, again, it being a tool, it is going to, like, as soon as somebody sees that happening, as soon as, like, hey, you know what? We can use this medium to project whatever reactionary thing we want, because the more somebody reacts to it, right, the higher the algorithm is going to pump it up.
Yeah. And I think – and that's the other part of this that's sort of not concerning but kind of interesting is the idea that then – so, okay, you know, if Elon Musk's view of Twitter or of social media it should be that blank white wall. There should be no control over who gets to post on it. There should be no editorializing. You know, it doesn't matter.
This is what he says it is.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter if the white wall is next to a preschool. You should be allowed to draw the biggest penis you want to. on the side of that white wall, because it's, God damn it, it's America. We live in America, even though I'm a Canadian originally from South Africa. It was America, you know? The problem, or what a lot of these companies have started to do then, is they've started to look at themselves as, well, we're not, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to editorialize or make sure that certain content does not get, just because a group of,
what?
You know, every time someone draws a swastika on the white wall, it's probably a good idea for us to paint over it, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what they've gone to or started to think about.
Yeah.
The problem is that application of censorship or, and again, I don't think censorship in this context is necessarily, I hesitate to even call it censorship.
It's content moderation.
It's just moderation, right? Like,
it's content moderation.
Controlling what people are allowed to post on your white wall makes sense. And it seems simple when you put it in that simplistic way.
Well, especially
the problem, when companies like Twitter, these other social media sites, start making cases like, well, no, we are a common good. We've helped things like the Arab Spring happen or whatever. They kind of want to have it both ways, right? They want to be able to say, we're just a website. We're just a tool. We're just a fun place, whatever. Oh, but also people can use us to control and overthrow your governments. You don't get to have, you know, you don't get to be a lawn dart and an atom bomb. You have to pick which one you're going to be.
You don't even have lawn darts. I think we've even talked about lawn darts on this show before.
Yeah.
Darts or whatever they are. Like, love those things. Okay, so, but the other thing is that beyond anything, beyond them being, you know, a social good, a social bad, they're a corporation, and a corporation's goal is to make money, right? They're not a non-for-profit. They're not out there, you know, fact-checking, and they're not like some, you know, or a think tank or something like that. They're a corporation. And so a corporation is dependent on its advertisers, especially if it doesn't have a subscription model. It is dependent on its advertisers. And what do advertisers hate the most, Chris? What do they hate the most? I'm GE. I'm Apple. What do I hate the most?
Philosophically scientific podcast aimed at an 18 to 45 audience.
No, man. No, don't even say that.
No. Obviously, they hate
controversy.
Controversy.
They hate something that they're not being able to content, surprise content. They like being able to know what's going to happen because they're putting millions and millions of dollars. Again, right, wrong, and different, however we feel about capitalism, that's what's happening here. And it's like advertisers will gravitate towards the social media platform that can prove they have the most responsible, robust content management, period. Like that's, and right now, like what I love about Twitter is how Elon Musk is, you know, publicly bullying Apple and shaming his advertisers that are leaving in droves because they, quote unquote, don't lack free speech.
Well, again, you paint on your white wall, you decide to make a space for someone to advertise their local shop. If next to that, you know, is the swastika corner, they're not going to be happy, probably. You know, they're probably not going to be into that.
And, Elon's swastika corner. There's the name of the episode.
That's what's so interesting, I think, for this argument is people seem really to kind of miss. I mean, besides the fact that people just seem to, you know, to if Elon Musk wants to make the case that Twitter is a town square, that it is sort of a place where people should be allowed to talk freely and openly about all their ideas. And that not only that, but that we have to treat it then as if it is a center of public discourse or opinion of importance
forum,
of some kind, right?
Yes.
That this is like a forum. If that's the case.
Like ancient Greece, it's the forum, forum of ideas.
If that's the case, then it seems like that probably shouldn't be controlled by a company. You know, and that's the part that I think is so funny when you talk to people who are sort of more on the Elon Musk, let's say, bend of things on this, right? The thought that this should be a freely available place for anyone to talk. I agree right. that if we are going to have a thing like that available,
right,
that it probably shouldn't be controlled by any company. It should be a, right. you know, do you want to leave free speech open to a person who on a whim can decide they don't like what you're saying? I don't think you should. And no. so if we no. want to make Twitter this important place for people to share information, it seems almost necessarily that they would have to become public utilities of some kind.
I agree. And I just, you know, just getting back to the entire point of him, if I may just diatribe for a moment, of him actually purchasing this company, right? So it's like we could do an entire episode on a deep dive of how he funded this event, because there's a lot of gray area and money and Saudi money involved in that. But the fact that the man, so by the time, you know, he's gone back and forth and he's going to nullify the contract, which is not something you can really do without penalty. And then he walks in to Twitter with a sink, like goddamn Carrot Top prop comedy. I mean, at that point, if you were a Twitter employee, you must have just died a little inside, right? Like, because you talk to Twitter employees, and for the majority of them that, you know, that have been interviewed or that, you know, you've read their tweets, their farewell tweets or whatever, they seemed like they thought it was a pretty special place, which, you know, I don't know because I didn't work there. I don't know if they were laboring under a delusion or if it actually was kind of a really interesting social-minded place to work. I don't know. But, like, you must have just been like, holy shit, this guy is a fucking joke.
I don't. Yeah.
And people were like, yeah, that's so cool. And it's like, no. Now, I have really had a problem with Elon Musk ever since he sent one of those fucking Teslas into space to orbit. Right. It's like, hey, you know what we need in space? More shit, more junk, more junk in space. I'm so glad that you want to send people to Mars so you can fuck up that planet. It's just, you know, and I think I'm mad at myself the most, Chris. And let me tell you why I'm mad at myself the most. It's because for a long time, I believed the hype that he was actually a genius, that he was smart. You'd see him on 60 Minutes and you're like, wow, here's this carefully spoken, really intelligent man who's doing all of these different, you know, he's this Renaissance guy, right? He's like cars and boring machines, and he's going into space. And then you realize he fucking bought his way into everything and he doesn't even really have a degree. Oh, yeah. I mean, I believe that. And so that's what I think it is. So that's the other part of this that made me think of you when we were discussing this, is it's like the entire idea of again, if the lab coat, right? Somebody puts on a lab coat, you're going to listen to them type of science. It's like this guy built up his mythos about how he was this. He has a degree in physics, right? He has advanced degrees in physics. Really, that's what gives him some credibility in all this stuff. Because if he was like, I don't know, he had an advanced degree in cosmetology or whatever, not saying, you know, I actually would sooner have a degree in cosmetology in a lot of times, but like no one would listen to him. He wouldn't have the gravitas to quote unquote be a genius. Do you know what I mean? And it's he doesn't have those things.
I do know what
you
mean.
It's a fucking lie.
I do know what you mean.
Woo! Okay, sorry.
All right. We're going to pick up after the next break.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on cannedairpodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Hey there!
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey. We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema.
Our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.
A news story gets shared by a friend on social media, or you catch a tweet that really makes your blood boil. But how do you separate fact from fiction? That's the premise behind Disinformation, a 10-part series from Evergreen Podcasts and Emergent Risk International coming this fall. Tune into Disinformation wherever you get your podcasts, and remember, don't believe everything you read.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
Listeners, if you heard a jingle ball, by the way, that was Marie's cat Sophie.
Yeah, sorry about that. That wasn't my brain having a small aneurysm over the topic that you could actually audibly hear. Although I can imagine that I'm very close to one whenever I bring up this topic. But that was my cat.
Who oh, Jake, we're to come Jake. In. Jake, we're so
I
sorry.
I know. Sorry, Jake.
All right.
Jingle.
The Elon Musk thing is so. It's so frustrating because, like you said, he, again, sort of has built this mythology. And we see it with a lot of other people. Like, we see it with, it's sort of the same con that a lot of these people in Silicon Valley seem to fall for, or just in technology, yeah. Even the government fall for, which yeah. is, you know.
He's like a successful Katie Holmes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like whatever Katie
Holmes,
you know, whatever.
What was her name? Yeah, whatever. Katie Holmes.
You know what I mean? the Theron, Elizabeth Holmes. He's like if Elizabeth Holmes made it somehow.
Yeah.
The skin of her teeth. That's the same thing.
It's just sort of continuously like the original thing that he built was a website that basically was like a city services kind of hub. You know, so almost like, you know, those back in the old days, they had like, you know, McAllen's Guide to New York City or whatever. And you'd like get a booklet mm-hmm. you could read through mm-hmm. and see like, well, what were the best restaurants, what were the best whatever. He basically, him and a partner created a website that kind of did that, you know, mm-hmm. and then they moved on to banking. And like, you know, it's sort of interesting because from the outside, it's really hard to tell what area of expertise he supposedly excels in. You know, it seems like he mm-hmm. wants to say that it's sort of software or whatever. And it's hard also to know from outside of Twitter, at least, or being on Twitter, I guess I should say, seeing the kind of company disintegrate, it seems unlikely that if you had a website that is, again, essentially these sort of social media sites you'd think could run from the outside, it's easy to think that they should be able to run in a very lean manner. Yeah. How much work does it take to maintain a white wall?
Yeah.
Essentially a forum. Now, obviously more than we think it does. You know, like we're not experts on this. So clearly it requires a lot of people, but it seems strange to think that, like, why was the minute Twitter started trying to become both a social media platform of importance for news and information and politics in particular to spread. That was the moment Twitter basically gave up the ability to become or gave up the ability to be sort of its own entity, I think, honestly. You know, if I think Twitter's biggest mistake was allowing politicians onto Twitter in the first place.
I would agree with you.
Like,
I would,
you know.
Yes.
And I think the line between something being like a political space versus a discussion space is pretty hard. It's pretty fraught, I think, to distinguish there. Mm-hmm. But like the minute that you start pushing, and I think it's a company, so they're allowed and have the right to, and I think in some cases should speak up for social issues that they think are important to them. You know, I think they have that ability, that right. But again, if that's something you're going to do, you also have a responsibility to try to tell the truth, number one. And you have a responsibility to make it clear that you are pushing a particular agenda or a particular viewpoint.
Well, and I think, too, if you are pushing an agenda that is not... So if you decide to take a certain stance, your advertisers and your people paying for your service or showing up for your service have the right to walk away from it.
Absolutely, 100%.
Right? Like... I'm not going to say the market self-regulates because I don't believe that. But I do think that this is one of these instances where, if you look at Twitter from the get-go, I would say, it wasn't a really super run company. Like Jack Dorsey was, pretty checked out. It seems like for the most part of his tenure as CEO, he wasn't even at the company. Was it somewhat bloated and not really well run? Yeah, maybe. But I don't think that all these people are that are being painted as lazy, lazy six-figure salary type of thing, and now they've got to go get real jobs. Again, that's like propaganda. That's like really harmful propaganda.
And it's total.
To your point, we don't know what it takes to run that, but clearly, just like anybody's job, it takes more than you think it does.
Well,
like,
also,
if you look at your job, right? It takes more than somebody might think it.
That also is a point that drives me fucking crazy. All right.
Crazy.
Own a $1 billion social media site? If you don't, then what the fuck do you care that they are overpaying their workers potentially? You are more likely to be a worker than the owner of that social media site. Shut the fuck up. Like, it drives me crazy. The thing where people are like, oh my God, people working at McDonald's should be getting paid $15 an hour. Huh. Well, I let my boss punch me in the face every day and I only get paid $2 an hour. Well, then you should work for McDonald's, you fucking idiot. You're the idiot. You're the idiot for letting your boss take advantage of you.
It's one of those hallmarks of, I'm going to say capitalism, right? That there's not enough pie to go around, right? If somebody else is getting something better than you, they're taking it from you, which is a lie.
Like, 100%.
Again, unions, self-advocating, mobilization in these ways, organization. It's like, if somebody's getting something better than you, that means that you too can do better. It doesn't mean they're taking it out of your pocket.
Exactly.
But it's more satisfying on that anger level, right? It amps up their algorithms to be like, hey, they're taking it from you. These lazy San Francisco freaks are taking money out of your pocket. Now they should have to get real jobs because Elon walked in with a sink.
It's like seeing Robin Hood and being on the side of the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Totally.
Like, it's insane. It is insane, right?
It's kind of nuts, right?
It doesn't make any goddamn sense. But it's not even that really necessarily too with this. With Twitter, the other thing that's come out recently is the Twitter files.
Oh my God.
And so there have been three of them now. The first one was Marco Rubio and Republicans being mad they didn't get to see Hunter Biden's dick pic. The second one seems to be anger that they decided to ban Donald Trump from Twitter. And the third one There's a third one now that seems to be, I don't even know if this is part of the Twitter files. The third one does seem kind of legitimately troubling, which is, maybe this is a totally different scandal, that Twitter had really poor, they actually did a really shitty job of controlling the flow of like child pornography on their website. Even when, probably. Even when specific child victims reached out and were like, hey, I was a kid when this happened. Here is my ID. I was blackmailed into doing these. Please take them down. And then Twitter would like reply back with an automated reply being like, we don't see anything wrong with this.
Right.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you should probably...
What is the responsible? Like, I agree with you. Like, so I think that third one, it warrants more of an investigation. What it doesn't warrant is publicly being, like, again, just publicly released. Like, if he has this information, if he's found this information, he should hand it over to the authorities. He should be responsible for it and not be like, I'm just going to put it out into the wild with everyone's email addresses, because that's not, again, that's not going to help the victims. That's not going to help solve child pornography. What that's going to do is just, you know, incite a rabid mass.
Well, it seems
of people
pretty,
that don't have all the facts.
It seems pretty on brand for the kind of ultra nationalist right wing side of things for them to be like, look, not only were these lazy San Franciscans, you know,
taking
my money and hiding stuff that hurt the Biden crime family, but they also were helping to groom kids. You know, it seems like it's pretty on brand. You know, again, though, I think there to be again to make this a stupidly simplistic view, because I think that's really how people look at this anyways. It's sort of like, again, suddenly the white wall you put up is being used to sell drugs. People are using the white wall to make, they're writing little codes to each other to say, hey, you know,
telephone numbers for selling drugs.
Exactly. Yes. I'll sell you drugs at this place, whatever.
Drugs.
And you find out about it. You probably have a responsibility as the guy who owns the white wall and is letting people write on the wall. You probably have a responsibility to like contact the authorities, you know,
to do something responsible.
But on the other hand, the argument people seem to be making for Twitter is, but they're just the guys with the wall. They're not the ones that are selling the drugs. So is it really their fault? And it's like, the problem with that argument, I think, is number one, Twitter is like actively trying to get people to use it.
Yes.
Right. So Twitter,
well, it's this model. Yeah.
Twitter wants to, but Twitter also wants to take responsibility as, we are the world's communication platform. We're the main communication platform in the world.
Yes.
Well, if
yes.
you are going to take on that mantle, then that adds tremendous responsibility to what you can do or what you have to do. It adds a tremendous amount of responsibility.
100% agree.
They wanted to be able to, a lot of these social media sites, it's because it's not just Twitter. Facebook does this too, you know, whatever.
Yes. Agreed.
What they want to be able to say, they want to be able to say is, we're just the place for people to do stuff. If people do illegal stuff on our site, that's not our fault. It's not our problem. The issue with that is you also want to have this sort of special place where the government doesn't regulate you at all. And you want to be able to say, well, why should the government regulate us? We're the town forum. And it's like, well, if you were on PBS, you also wouldn't be allowed to show child pornography. So am I infringing on your rights? You know, the Daily Stormer doesn't have a PBS segment, you know, Tea Time with Hitler, right? Like, there's
just pulled that out of thin air on that one. That was good.
There's no continuity in the argument. It doesn't make any fucking sense. So
Tea Time with the Führer.
I think really at the end of the day, like a lot of these people are kind of making really idiotic, on both sides, are making totally idiotic arguments.
Yes.
You know,
I agree.
Where it's like, okay, well, you know, either social media is a utility and needs to be controlled like a utility, or rather it is a type of broadcast thing and has to be controlled in that same way, or it isn't. Either it's a public good or it isn't. And it could not be a public good, but if it's not a public good, then it has to be regulated in some way.
Well, and I think that, again, like I was saying, you know, if you are trying to attract advertisers, you're trying to be successful and have a lot of ad revenue, because really there's not a lot of ways for Twitter to make money if you think about it. Like, and this has historically been shown. It's not like they were worth $44 billion.
No, right?
That is just the simple fact. And it's not like, hey, you see the future of Twitter and it's like, what are all the things that Twitter is going to be able to do? No, it's Twitter, right? So it's like you have to have an ad revenue or a subscription model that is going to work, that people are going to come back to, that are people like, I'm going to subscribe because I really want to read the content from people that post to Twitter that I really like and respect. Or I am a ad buyer for Apple, and I really, you know, I'm going to give them my millions and millions of dollars because I trust that they have thought this stuff through and they have, and, you know, I'm not going to be put up next to a child pornography or a swastika, right? Like, but if you can't do that, if you can't guarantee that, then you are not going to be in business. And yeah, that is what this is. It's like I feel like, especially with Twitter recently, all this stuff is just ginning up controversy to try and get people back into the platform and to try and get Donald Trump back into the platform. And that is especially insidious because it's not, you know, speaking from just a consumer point of view, there's no value to me there, right? Like, the reason I like Twitter, and Twitter has always, you know, over the last, I'm going to say at least the last 3 or 4 years, has been my social media of choice. I love Twitter. I have met and had dialogues with some pretty amazing people, and that I would not have gotten the chance necessarily elsewhere. But am I going to keep going back to it if all I feel is it's, you know, it's just this really crazy, angry, unstable place? No, you know, like, I think that that's not why the majority of people are on that platform, right? It's just, and to me, it's like, so then we pivot and we say, well, where would we go? What else is out there?
Gonna have to start doing booty short dances on TikTok.
Dude.
That's the only answer for me. Yeah, like, where else do you go? It's kind of the only
Mastodon
game in town.
I don't know, good one.
It's the only good one. Mastodon.
I've joined Post. Joined
Post. I don't
know
what Post is. Mastodon sucks. Like, people are like, Mastodon is great. Look, you can see 5 posts. That's not great. It sucks. Mastodon sucks. Post seems to be even worse. The only one I use now is Discord. I mean, I'm on Twitter. But should I be? I mean, it's hard to know. And it's kind of like, again, the same thing. None of these social media sites, like, really made me happier. You know?
No,
I didn't do... I mean, that's the thing. It's funny. The internet, in some ways, I've gotten a lot of joy out of the internet, you know?
Yeah.
Podcasting would not be possible without the internet. This is a form of social media, for sure.
Yes.
It's user-generated content going up on these websites. So, you know, I can't say fully that the internet or that social media has been fully a bad thing, but it definitely seems like even within podcasting, I mean, we try, despite all appearances, listeners, we try really hard to be truthful and honest. And we try really hard also not to sugarcoat how we feel about things, even if it's political or whatever, because we don't think that that is... We don't think that that is sort of being truthful to you who's listening. And we also think, frankly, you know, our listeners are mature enough and smart enough to be able to hear somebody with a different opinion and not like, oh God, I can't believe they think that. And then they shut it off and give us a 1-star review or whatever, you know, like we respect you intelligent. We respect your intelligence enough to think and know that if you disagree with us on a political issue or on a social issue or whatever, that there's probably a good reason for it. And if we were to have a discussion, we could still come to some common ground on some base things, you know?
On something. Yeah. I would agree with that.
You know, there's a guy I used to listen to when I lived in Massachusetts, Dan Ray, who did a radio show that I would call into sometimes in Boston. And he used to say, you know, reasonable people can disagree reasonably. You know, And I totally agree with that. I think that's really kind of why we do, why we don't try to shy away from those things, whereas other shows might want to. The problem is, again, some people are not careful. They don't care. Or they are trying, like they're trying on purpose to create kind of an echo chamber for people and listeners and try to rile them up and whatever. And I mean, that's also can be fun. You know, I mean, we all like professional wrestling, but it's not a good way to like inform people. And I think that's part of the challenge here is people are using the internet as if it's meant to inform you, when really, like, there's people treat the internet or places like Twitter or whatever as if they are like, you know, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, like as if they are respected sources of information, when really they are like, you know, the Daily World News. You know, they're trash, they're tabloids, you know? So social media is not kind of the Twitter and Facebook and whoever want to act like social media is this, you know, the bread and butter of a society, that it's this good, it's part of civic life, it is an important foundation, that they want to be almost seen as equal to the free press, right? But they're not. They're just the candy. They're the sugar that is, you know, they're entertainment. They're not CNN or MSNBC or ABC or, you know, whatever, Fox, whatever news station you want to watch.
It's user-driven content.
Yeah, they're Bravo. Bravo.
I feel like, so as user-driven content, you don't have to fact check. It's opinion. It's all opinion based. It's all basically op-ed.
Yeah.
Like 140 character op-ed all day long about what you think, which I agree. I don't think that you should be getting your news source from that. I mean, that said, I do think that there are a lot of interesting journalists and writers that are on Twitter that I do like to follow. And I again, it's not like I'm going to blindly believe anything on that site, but For everything that I enjoy, every transaction I enjoy, I think that there is, you know, the inevitable Twitter fight with UFO, UFO Twitter, right? Like, so I think that there's a downside to it as well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly. It has to be treated like it's entertainment. It's entertainment. Yes. It is not education. It is not news.
Yes.
I really think, you know, to kind of wrap up this episode, Maria, I got a quote I want to read here from a person very close to my heart. You ready?
Oh, God.
All right.
Hit me, Slim.
Okay. The Industrial Revolution and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race. I'm just kidding. All right. Dear listeners, we love you very much. For those that don't, that's from the Unabomber Manifesto.
Oh, my God.
We love you so much.
Sounded familiar.
We're gonna do another one of these kind of fun episodes here. We're really excited for the next season. One thing I did want to say too, if you follow us on social media, let us know where you want to find us from now on. Please.
Yeah.
Because Twitter is great. I use it less and less. A lot of people that follow us on Twitter, I figure, probably don't listen to the show. If you do listen, though, reach out to us. If you were one of the people who Spotify Wrapped said that you were a top listener of the show, or we were one of your top 5 or top 10, send us an email. We want to send you stickers and a thank you note.
Yeah, we desperately want you.
Please reach out to us. Please, please, please.
Holy smokes. God love you.
All right. We will be back next week with another episode.
Thank you again, dear listeners, for listening to the Mad Scientist Podcast. I have been your host, Chris Cogswell, joined by my co-host,
Marie Mayhew.
If you'd like to contact the show, please send us an email at themadscientistpodcast@gmail.com. That's all one word. You can also follow us on Twitter at madscientistpod or at Team Giant Squid for Marie. And of course, you can see us on Facebook, on Instagram, and all over the internet as the Mad Scientist Podcast. And again, our logo is the one with the pumpkin head, so it's easy to see.
Mm-hmm.
If you've enjoyed the show tonight, please consider supporting us on Patreon, where the money that you give to us will help us to promote this show further, to make it better, and just to spend more time making it.
Because we love doing that.
We do love doing that. Our logo was designed by Carrie Shaheen. Our Web design is done by Desdemona Howard.
Woohoo!
And our sound design is done by Jake Cardinal. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you. This has been a Damn It Chippy production.
Marie.
Yeah.
Is there a jingle ball near you?
There is, and it is the cat. Should we redo that whole part? Somehow got back in here.
I can hear it jingling so loud.
Oh, crap. We can put a little disclaimer on there, but the cat got in.
It's fine. It's hilarious. Let's keep going. You ready?
All right, I'm back. Yes.
I'm Eliza, and I need you to listen to me. Have you ever felt so much that you don't know where to put it all? And you wonder if anyone would notice if you screamed? Because you want to. Scream for the ones they've hurt, the ones they've taken. Scream for yourself. These are my words, my story from my perspective. Because I know you'll hear other versions. Because I want you to have a chance to believe mine. Or at least hear it. If you're getting this, it's already over. But if one of you listens, really listens, it won't be for nothing.